the pure light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teaching. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that rambling down all kind of desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and that all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Please now let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Let us attend. At that time, the Sabbath was past. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come to anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Now it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christos está resucitado. Christos está auferstanden. Christos ist aufgestanden. Christ is risen. Christos enviat. No. Don't know that one. Yeah, let's pay attention though. We're pronouncing this gospel in all languages. We'll get to that. It says, the angel says to the myrrh-bearing women, "You seek Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." The whole gospel is contained in these words of the angel. The true principle and meaning of creation is contained. The nature and destiny of man is contained in these words of the angel. We know from the other Gospels that when the women finally were able to tell the other disciples that the Lord was risen, they were dismissed as having gone crazy. Even though they were all telling the same story. But honestly, how was it unreasonable to doubt their story? So then why does the Lord rebuke his disciples rather sharply, very sharply, for their unbelief? And he says, for their hardness of heart. How is not believing that Jesus was risen from the dead the sin? How is it a sin of hardness of heart? I've been asked to teach church history to some students of our diocesan St. Macrina Institute. To introduce the subject, I may ask the students to consider, what is the principle that governs and drives history? How does the history of the church fit into that? My intention would be to shake the students out of their present mind, like the myrrh-bearers were shaken out of their minds, in which I'll bet they think without thinking, as do most all of us, in the hardness of heart of the scientific or political worldview, in which understanding of the world and solutions to societal ills are entrusted to scientific methods rooted in and governed and delimited by an intentional agnosticism, whether one believes in God or not. Yeah, I know I just tried to capture a whole book in this one sentence, but I trust you get the idea that I'm wanting to say. I want to challenge the students to think according to the theological worldview of the church, which is centered not on mathematics, not on laboratory experiments, not on physics, but it is centered on the logos of God and his cross. And it is centered on the logos and his cross because we believe, from what the apostles have told us and from what we ourselves have seen in our own experience, we believe that this is the center of the creation. But I'll bet they'll want to dismiss me as moonstruck, just like the disciples dismissing the eyewitness account of the myrrh-bearers. On Paschal night, we read from the Acts of the Apostles. It is not given to you, the risen Lord says to his disciples, it is not given to you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. What catches me in this word of Christ, the risen Christ of his holy disciples, is how history, the times and the seasons that are in the Father's authority, how history moves according to the will of God the Father, and that the goal of its movement is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the Lord's disciples. Not just the 11, but all throughout history who follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the way to the Father. And who is this Lord Jesus Christ, the way to the Father? On Paschal night, we read from St. John's Gospel, in the beginning, and we continued for 17 verses, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was with the Father, and the Word was God. In him all things were created. So forth and so on. This directs us back to Genesis chapter 1. The theologian and the church, by assigning this passage from St. John's Gospel for our reading on Paschal night, which is the only time in the year that we read this particular gospel, the church is telling us that this Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God in whom all things were made. His death and resurrection, then, are the beginning. They are He. They are the root, the logos, the principle, or the meaning of creation. It's telos. It's telos. It's a Greek word that means the end or perfection. So Jesus Christ's Holy Pascha is the perfected, the completed, the finished end of creation. This is to say that the root and principle that governs creation is not physical, as in some impersonal cosmic process. It is theological. It is the mystery of the person of Jesus Christ. In Greek, the logos tou theou. The logos tou theou. Can you hear theological? Theo, logical. Theo is God. Logical, is of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. That means that what governs the movement or history of creation is the will of God the Father. Underneath all human imaginations, underneath all human strategies, all human schemes and plans, there is a deeper movement that governs everything. The principle that governs the world, the logos, the meaning of the world, which is Jesus Christ, which is of God the Father, was made manifest to us in the mystery of the cross as the finished or the perfected demonstration of the love of God. That means that the really real is the inexpressible love of God. Creation and its movements or history is not rooted in, it is not governed by impersonal laws of physics that are expressed in cold, impersonal mathematical formulas, but it is rooted in and governed by the will of God, expressed in the mystery of the cross or in the incomprehensible love of God. That means that the principle of creation is not death and meaninglessness, but life, and life more abundantly. For by the cross, God destroyed death by his death, and he gave life to those in the tombs. How can faith rejoice over a gospel that proclaims that God died on the cross? It's because by his voluntary suffering and death on the cross, God stooped down. He descended in absolute humility, which is of his very essence. And he became absolutely one with us. In the very heart of our sin, he became one with us. He became one with us deep down at the very core, at the root, in our conscience, as St. Paul says in his letter to the Hebrews. And precisely because he became one with us and yet was himself without sin, and because he is God, he cleansed us. He cleansed us all the way down into the core, into the heart of our being. He cleansed us of our death, which is the very essence of our sin. In the flesh, in our flesh, he destroyed death. He destroyed our death by his death. Evil and death and their cause, sin, are not the first or the last word. They are not the really real, nor can they sabotage the really real. They tried it. They killed it. And they could not destroy it. For the really real is Christ's cross, by which he destroyed death and everything that goes with it. This gospel is proclaimed wordlessly in every Orthodox temple built from the ground up under the governance of the Church's theological vision of the world. You enter such an Orthodox temple and you look up to see at the top of the dome in the center, over all things, the icon of Christ Pantocrator. Everything comes from him. Everything returns to him. He is the Christ. That means that he is the one in whom the Holy Spirit of God dwells. The Holy Spirit of God, who is the light and life of the world, the meaning, the purpose, the destiny, the goal of the world that the darkness could not overcome. He is an all-consuming fire. In him, all that is dark and that is not of God is filled with light. All that is of death and evil is burned up and destroyed. And the world and the man whom God created are cleansed and refined as in the smelter's fire and raised up as holy gold, partakers of the holy fire of the divine nature, consumed, burning up with that holy fire, and not being consumed, not being destroyed, but rather being given life. At the Matins for this morning, which we sang last night, we heard this. The Holy Spirit governs and moves creation. And in the Acts of the Apostles, we read on Thursday last the prayer of the disciples. O Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the rulers of Israel and the nations gathered together against thy holy child Jesus. The prayer is referring to the second song. They gather together against thy holy child Jesus to do whatever thy hand, you hear it? To do whatever thy hand and thy will determined before to be done. You hear it? Not to do according to what they wanted to do. Yes, they wanted to destroy him. But the prayer is saying, no, this was all governed by the Holy Spirit. It was already determined beforehand by the will of the Father. Why? Because he wanted to destroy death by his death, so that the world in him would not be shaken. It cannot be shaken, because it has been established in his cross, in the death and resurrection of his Son. Can you hear in these prayers of the early, early church, the theological vision of the apostolic church? What governs creation and its movement is the love of God, perfectly revealed in the mystery of the cross and his Sabbath rest, in which he has destroyed death by his death and given life to those in the tombs. So to my students, if I were to ask them this question, I would hope that the discussion would lead us to see that the church does not fit into the history of the world, because the church is not one of many historical events. She is the body of Christ, in whom all things were made. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the mother of God, who holds in herself the principle of creation. History moves inside the church. Inside the church is the mystery of the Lord's Pascha, the principle of creation. And in the Lord's holy Pascha, in his holy church, sin, death, and evil are swallowed up. Creation is healed and finished, restored to its original beauty, meaning, and purpose, which is what? Is to serve as God's holy temple, in which as many as receive him may become children of God, partakers of the divine nature, in whom God dwells as in his holy temple. Might we say that the disciples did not believe the myrrh-bearing women because they were not seeking Jesus of Nazareth, as the myrrh-bearers were? Might we say that Christians today are increasingly falling away from belief in the Noel of the empty tomb because they, like the disciples of old, are no longer seeking Jesus of Nazareth as the really real? They do not live or think theologically. They think scientifically or politically or sociologically or whatever. They are not rooted in the vision of the prophets or in the mystery of the church, the Lord's Pascha. They live according to the blindness of human reason and not according to the wisdom of Christian faith. They are rooted in the world and in the darkness of this age that the world considers to be enlightenment. They are not rooted in the true light of the world, in whom is the life of the world. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In this the church proclaims the really real. We just proclaimed. We just shouted it out. Well, sort of shouted it out. The principle of creation. This is the really real. Christ's holy Pascha, moreover, is the dynamic principle of creation. It's not a static principle. It's a dynamic principle. Because it moves from death to life. It moves from death to life to theosis in the Holy Spirit. This is the deeper law beneath the laws of nature. This is the fundamental law. This is the law of the universe. And that's why, when God wills, the laws of nature are overruled, because God is the master. The laws of nature are his slaves. They do what he tells them to do. But if Christ's Pascha is the really real, the really real is verified not by thinking about it, arguing over it, but by doing the Lord's commandments. These commandments of the Lord are the very shape of the really real. When you practice the commandments of Christ, you are clothing yourself in the really real. You are becoming real. You are becoming authentic. They are the very shape of the really real. They are the very shape of the cross of Christ that illumines, that heals, and raises to life. To pursue humility, to love our neighbor, even our enemy, to forgive, to do as we would have done to us. Dear faithful, not one of the Lord's commandments traumatizes, not one of them pollute us, not one of them maim us or wound us. Rather, they put all that to death, and they lead us into our heart, as to the Lord's tomb with the myrrh-bearing women. There they heal us. They raise us to life in the Lord's resurrection. Doing them, we unite ourselves to Christ, so that with him we too are found no longer among the dead. In the tomb of the Lord we find ourselves in the joy of his holy resurrection. And we are made to become martyrs of Christ, witnesses of Christ, proclaiming to the world as we do every day now in Pascha. Christos voskrese! Christos anesti! Christos enviat! Christos esto resuscitado! Christ is risen!
Indeed, he is risen.